in this second part, we look at the letter, second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. Paul is now giving advice. And he's saying, see, look, do what I'm trying to do. You know, I'm trying to be an example because the Lord wants me to be. Lots of days I'd like to take a day off, but I can't from trying to please God all the time. In fact, it's a delight. Okay, so he begins. You know how one must imitate us, for we did not act in a disorderly way among you, nor did we eat food received free from anyone. We were there preaching the gospel, but we were also working, probably as a tent weaver. Now, you see, Paul's tents were not the kind you get in the, you know, what do you call those things? Athletic stores around here. They were probably made from goat's hair, and they were sold to the Roman army. They were tough to work with, you know, could hurt your hands, but they made it a powerful protection against rain and so forth. And that was his craft. Every rabbi has to have a craft. Nobody can just live from teaching the word. That he has a craft. See, imitate us, for we did not act in a disorderly way among you, nor did we eat food received free from anybody. We worked for our food and we paid for it. We don't want anybody to say, that guy owes everything to me. He doesn't mean it in a proud way. He just means that would diminish the witness to Christ. So he goes on. On the contrary, in toil and drudgery, night and day, we worked so as not to burden any of you. That was part of his apostolic preaching, to give this example. Not that we do not have the right. Rather, we wanted to present ourselves as a model for you so that you might imitate us, you see. Don't hang around the drugstore smoking. Get a job. You know, and work at it. And at night, stay home with your family. Don't go to the bar and chat with your friends every night. You know, be serious about your duties in life. And so Paul said, so I tried to give an example. When I got there, I teamed up with a couple of people who wove tents, these tents for the Roman army or whatever, and I worked with them. And I sold my tents. And that's how I lived. So you may say, well, why don't priests do that today? I don't know. I mean, it might not be a bad idea. Trouble is that our culture is so complicated. You can't work and then, like, if you're weaving your own tents, you can stop. Somebody wants to talk to you, you stop. If you're working in a restaurant and somebody wants to talk to you, you can't. You got to run to the next customer. And then there are other ways, other dimensions of this as well. But Paul wanted to give a good example. You know, it's amazing, since some Mediterranean cultures, the guys are hanging around smoking, playing backgammon and stuff, and the women are working. This is nuts. Anyway, rather, we wanted to present ourselves as a model for you so that you might imitate us. In fact, when we were with you, we instructed you that if anyone was unwilling to work, neither should that one eat. I told you that. Don't any guy trying to get himself invited every night to somebody else's house, you know, or stuff like that, and not working for his own and earning his own money, that's a disgrace. And if you make a lot of it, great, you can give it away. You see? And so, we wanted to present ourselves as a model for you so that you might imitate us. In fact, as I just read, when we were with you, we instructed you that if anyone was unwilling to work, neither should that one eat. This is true. You see? Now it's very different, like, oh my Lord, around here, where I live, outside Washington, D.C., most everybody is running around like a nut. You know, in their car, driving down to Washington on these highways. I did it myself a couple of times a week when I was teaching down there. And I could afford, you know, I didn't have to be on the cutting edge, as it were, getting down there by 8:30 or something. So I wasn't in the worst of the traffic. It's awful. And I didn't have to go every day, as they do. Two or three times a week, max. But you see, why do you do that? Well, I did it so that I'd have some food to eat, you know, pay my rent. But a man supporting a family is because he loves his family. He wants to earn everything that he can for them. And so, it's not preoccupation with money. It's being able to support his family and to have some to give to the poor. That's why. So that's what he's saying here, you see. Now we hear that some are conducting themselves among you in a disorderly way, not keeping busy, but minding the business of others, poking their nose in everybody else's stuff, instead of getting a job. You see? Such people we instruct and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to work quietly and eat their own food. It's pretty strong on this. Also, can you imagine if everybody else is working hard and the Christians are waiting for the Lord to come back? I mean, they're lazy, they're not building up the society, they're not earning any money to help the poor, they're not doing anything. What a terrible example on the part of those who say, we know the meaning of life. We know that there is salvation for us and that it is eternal. And we know all this. Then why don't you act it? Why don't you do something? Why don't you care for other people? You see? So that's what Paul is saying here. This is quite an interesting text, you see? As we are getting ready, to end the liturgical year, think about how much do I care about others and what do I do about it? If you're like me, I get 6 to 10 appeals for funds every day over the internet. Well, I don't have a lot of money. But golly, when it's for orphan kids on an Indian reservation, you know, well, you've got to give something. Or to help fight abortion or think, you know, somebody very wealthy who wants a little more, he's got more than I do. But for the poor, there's always room. There's always room to help. It's important. So that's what he's saying, you see. Keeping busy, minding other people's business, instruct to work quietly and eat their own food and have something to share. I'm sure it happens to everybody, but these things come through the internet. I mean, some of them you just have to answer. They're all crooks. They're not all crooks. Or some, I don't know. But if I'm giving it, thinking I'm helping the poor, the Lord will say thank you on Judgment Day. But if the other guy's a crook, he's not going to say thank you to him. But that's his problem. But I can't send the FBI to check up on everybody who wants money from me. Some is pretty obvious, but to care for the poor, to care for the poor, that has always been one of the salient characteristics of a real Christian. to care for the poor. And so Paul is saying here, get a job. If you make more money than you need, give it away. Other people are sick, or maybe mentally retarded, or maybe broken by tragedy in their life, and they can't. Or maybe they got themselves addicted to alcohol, and you got to help them get over that. Well, sometimes one kind look and a respectful response can change a life. When I give away stuff, I say, remember to pray for me. And this poor guy, I mean, you know, he's an alcoholic, he's drunk, his self-image is about 20 below zero. And somebody all dressed up looking dignified says, pray for me. I'll bet they all do. Not everybody. Some are just still crooks, I guess. But Paul is saying, you see, a lot of you folk, you're either waiting for the Lord to come back any day now, so why bother to work and get a bank account? We're never going to get a chance to spend it. So let's just hang around playing pool, smoking cigars, and chatting. I got a reason why not. There are people down the street who don't have enough to eat. So get a job and help them out. And as far as possible, without insulting anybody, do it one-on-one. And most of these organizations, you know, it's not called Community Chest anymore, whatever that's called. But whatever it is, they're upright. They're doing well. But once in a while, transfer from you to somebody else and say, pray for me. Sometimes you're helping somebody who hasn't thought about prayer for a long, long time. But you know you'd be surprised. I used to work in a soup kitchen. I've been very active in my life. Did a lot of things. Anyway, it was up in Regina, Saskatchewan. It was part of Madonna House. They run soup kitchens to help guys out of work. And, of course, some of these guys are alcoholics. And I'm dishing out food. And I didn't have my collar on, but the guy kind of knew I was a priest. He said, Father, I got a question for you. I said, what's that? He said, look, I'm a drunk. I think I'm always going to be a drunk. I just don't seem to be able to kick it. But I want to know this. How can I give a good example down here on Skid Row? I was so touched. I said, well, do you ever roll anybody and take their money so you can get drink? No, I know they do that. Do you try to treat other guys with dignity and gentleness? Yeah. I never get in a fight, you know? Do you try to build up somebody else's dignity when he's down and out and hates himself? Yeah, I do. I said, then you're doing fine. You're doing fine. Just keep it up. Amen.